Welcome, everybody, to the Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Each week, Ray spotlights in-depth interviews with legendary and up-and-coming authors and music artists. Ray also features the movers and the shakers of the music and publishing industries and suggests important methods for getting the most out of your public relations and marketing needs. Please welcome music journalist, author, and entrepreneur, Ray Shasho.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ray Shasho, and welcome to the show where we spotlight legendary and up-and-coming music artists and authors, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call us today at 941-877-1552 or visit www.publicityworksagency.com. Remember, we shine only when we make you shine. Our very special guest today is singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, composer, Janet Robbins. Janet Robbins was born in Nashville, Tennessee, into a musical family. At five, she began playing piano, rocking her Dr. Seuss songbook, and soon began to tour the neighborhood with a friend, performing their own songs and commercials. She gained critical acclaim for her role as a piece of Oscar Mayer bacon in a frying pan, which may have led her to becoming a vegetarian. Janet's childhood love of bugs was a foreshadowing of her later love and nurturing of animals, particularly the multitude of rescued Siberian huskies she lives with. Janet eventually made her way to Los Angeles, playing and composing in bands. She then discovered a different compositional voice in the creation of atmospheric soundscapes that incorporate her vocal and instrumental talents, as well as diverse cultural influences absorbed from her travels. This new musical direction led to her three CD series, Carrying the Bag of Hearts, Interpreting the Birth of Stars, and was followed by the critically acclaimed Song of the Gypsy Tree. She is also the featured vocalist on Chris Armstrong's second CD in the Space Age Furniture Music Series. Her compositions intoxicate and enliven the heart and mind. Janet Robbins draws on her rich heritage to weave sonic and visual tales of magic and mysticism. She is like a musical spirit guide. Follow her and she will lead you on an enriching and captivating journey. Excellent and fair. Janet Robbins grew up in a Nashville household that included legendary dad Marty Robbins. Robbins was an illustrious country and Western music entertainer with numerous hits, including several that reached the pop charts. One of Robbins' most memorable tunes, El Paso, a number one chart topper on both the country and pop charts. Marty Robbins was respected and emulated by legendary artists such as Elvis Presley, Frankie Lane, Johnny Cash, The Grateful Dead, and The Who. Marty Robbins was also a multi-instrumentalist performer. She was told not to follow in her famous father's footsteps by her dad. According to Janet, Marty Robbins kept his personal life private, not wanting to expose his family to all the glitz of show business. And she admits that she rarely got to see him perform. Janet stayed away from music for about the first half of her life and was not a fan of country music. Instead, at an early age, embraced the Doors' hypnotic single, Riders on the Storm. Janet would soon be captivated by artists such as Yes, Pink Floyd, Jeff Beck, Led Zeppelin, and ambient music pioneer Brian Eno. Janet was also influenced by classical greats Chopin, Beethoven, Mozart, and Dmitri Galopescu. Robbins' music is categorized somewhere between progressive, ambient, and experimental, but she has indefinite talent that could easily embellish any existing genre. Janet Robbins' latest release is entitled I Hear Crow, Solo Piano Improvisation and Composition. It is my great pleasure to welcome Janet Robbins to the Ray Shasho Show. Hey, Janet.
Hey, Ray.
Did I get that right?
Hey, Ray. Did you get what right?
Did I get it right? Your life story there?
The life story? I think I need to update my bio. Now that I hear it, I need to update it. It's good. It was an interesting read.
Well, let's talk about your new release, which is a little different than The Gypsy Tree, which, you know, I fell in love with because, you know, I love the way you sing, you know, and the way you put all those sounds, different sounds into the album. But this is another incredible album. Hear Crow, Solo Piano Improvisations and Composition. Talk about, creating this album. Was there an inspiration behind it, or you just kind of hung around nature and it all came to you?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, I was actually working on, as I mentioned before, before we began, I'm in New York half of the year now and in Asheville, North Carolina half the year, and had just made it back to North Carolina in at the end of November and was going to be rehearsing music that had come through, let's say, in August, which I was thrilled with, which I love, which is string and vocal compositions that I will continue to work with now. Mm-hmm. But was planning on rehearsing those, and it was around the solstice that I woke up. And I woke up early and had the thought, I wonder what sounds animals like to hear. Mm-hmm. And then I went downstairs, and it was early, and I had the portable keyboard set up off the kitchen and sat down. And because I'm using the portable, the A88, the Roland, as a controller, I have Pianotech installed in Logic on the laptop. So I open it up, and I start playing, but I'm recording. And so I ended up with these improvisations, which I loved, and they're compositions, really, because I wrote it within the program. It's a MIDI instrument. So I was able to go in and I said, you know what? There are like a half a dozen notes in here that I would like to shift, and I would change, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to treat it as a compositional tool now. So that's essentially what I did, and those songs came out over a period of a few days, right after the solstice. And then the crafting of putting it together and creating, working with the sounds a bit and working with the whole just recording it, getting it lined up for proper mastering came after that. And we were simultaneously working on a new website and put together a few videos. And that was what happened between the end of December and, let's say, the middle of April when I left to come back up to New York. So I finished the CD, got it back, and incorporated some Holga images that I loved. I love my Holga camera, so was able to incorporate images from that into the graphics and worked with some wonderful people in Asheville. Chris Stack helping to edit and put together the videos, and then Leslie Shaw, who's a graphic designer. So that's a start.
I tell you, it's amazing. And the poem you have, after all the tracks are listing, it still makes me think that there was a real crow involved. That it's almost like you followed him. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I just would sit with it and kind of dream with it at night and wonder what are these pieces? Who are they? Are they different mm-hmm. animals or what are the voices here? And I would write from it. I would originally thought that I would have text for each of the songs, two or three sentences, a little more of a prose approach, but it wasn't enough space. I didn't do that. But I did work with them in that way to kind of discover who they were. And it really kept coming back to Crow. And yes, indeed, there are crows everywhere at that location in Asheville.
Right.
And big ones. And so they're up on the back all the time. They're there all the time. And those, there were very real images and experiences and memories, and also the quality of that's physical life and ordinary life, and then there are the teachings, shamanic teachings and spiritual teachings, native teachings, different representations of Crow and the symbology and of Crow, and that's as shapeshifter and guardian of mysteries, and I really
right.
am a mystic artist, a mystic musician, I think, and that's how I experience the world. So,
well, you have a gift because you feel nature and turn your feelings into music, which it's not easy. And you also it's hard to compose music without any lyrics, isn't it?
Well, it's funny because the shape-shifting thing, that term, made its way into the press release, and
right.
There is truth to it, because I really, there's the curse and then there's the gift. You know, I never knew what I wanted, who I wanted to be. I don't know who I was. It's always the sort of discovery along the way.
Right.
And the voice really just, it's like, okay, well, what are my tools today? What are my tools? My voice will come through these tools, and it'll look or it'll sound like this today. And tomorrow, if I happen to work with this instrument, it'll sound like this. And
right.
So there is this always changing soundscape, landscape that I'm much more comfortable with now. So in terms of it being difficult, it wasn't difficult then, because that's just what happened. They just came out. And I wasn't intending on writing music. I was intending on rehearsing.
Right.
So it just happened. So had I sat and intentionally thought, okay, I'm going to work up to writing a solo piano CD, that'd be arduous and difficult. Yes, it would.
But there is a story, you know, in each of your piano compositions. And it sounds like there is lyrics, but, you know, I mean, did you have the lyrics in your head, or were you thinking about a story in your head when you were playing piano, or it just
came
out?
All I was doing was concentrating on, okay, I don't want to lose, I just want to hang in here. Where am I going? Where am I going? Where am I going? I don't know where I'm going here, and this is where it's going. And, you know, there's always that. I'm not somebody who's proficient with, I wouldn't say that I'm proficient with improvisation or proficient with performing, because I just don't that much. And there's always that little bit of, you know, you've got a little bit of nervousness that wants to take you out of the moment. Your mind wants to sit there and criticize or judge or critique or direct and say, oh, let's go over here and do, no, don't do that note yet, don't play, you know. And so the more you can be out of that space, or more in a space of just allowing, I mean, that's true, that's a true voice that I think comes through.
It is a
It
is a true voice. my favorite tracks, What Do They Hear? I love that mm-hmm. track. And The Factory Below. What were you thinking? Yeah, I mean, you know, you obviously put song titles to these songs, but so
well, I did. You know, it's after I went back, is, you know, like I was saying before, it's when I discovered who they were, what the tracks were, and what the quality was. And so definitely The Factory Below is a musical comment on mm-hmm. factory farming in our world. And that, not so much about the people, but about the treatment of animals within that structured, structure of abuse, as I see it. And so that track had an element of that, you know, as Crow is flying above it, as Crow sees what's happening, mm-hmm. you know, as witness. Crow can witness, Crow flies above it, but Crow mm-hmm. experiences it as well, and so he sees what's going on.
Right. That is so awesome. Well, it's 16 beautiful tracks, you know, and your music is, you know, it's so deep, and it touches the soul, mm-hmm. sometimes simple but powerful, you know, mm-hmm. it mystifies the soul, and the song, you know, your music makes you stop and think about life. And it makes me say, everybody put down your damn cell phones and listen to this. You know?
Do it now.
Do it now, because it's a form of reflection and meditation and you know, all, you know, let's think about life for a change, you know, instead mm-hmm. of the electronics, you know.
Yeah.
And you're wonderful.
Yeah, I'm thank you for that. I'm glad you appreciate that about it, because I think that is a quality, and I think that is it's part of the gift of, I mean, music can bring so many different experiences, and that's part of the gift, I think, of this, and also the simplicity of it within, you know, it's like within the simplicity, within the notes, there's so much going on.
There is.
And I love the woven tapestries of sounds that I've worked with in the past. I really do. I love that. I love working that way. And it has similar elements, I think, but this is maybe a stripped down version of that, which reveals a little more what's, I think, within the music. You know, it just kind of allows you to stop a bit.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're not in tune to nature and the things that you do, I don't think you could ever write this kind of music. There's no way. You got to be part of the world. You got to be part of the nature. It's got to be part of you, you know?
Yeah.
And you do a lot of that, you know? And I admire you for your stands on, you know, animal cruelty and all that. You know, you posted it was horrible. The Chinese, was it the Chinese dog torturing
dog
stick
festival.
Or whatever that was? Oh, my God. I almost lost it.
I know. And the social media thing is like such a funny thing. It's like, you know, what are you going to post? And why do I even want to think about what I'm going to post? I don't, you know, it's like, should I post this or not? No, I'm just going to post it. You know, it's like if I feel inclined to post
it. Right.
And some of those things are really horrific. And people don't want to see it. I don't want to see it when it comes across my timeline either, because I don't want to know that it exists. I don't want it to exist.
Yeah.
But, it's pretty horrific, and I think it's important to just, again, it's like, you know, track 10, witnessing.
Yeah, exactly.
And witnessing and doing, you know, of course, I think individuals, we can all do, we do something towards what we believe in and the kind of world that we want to live in and create, and it's important to take those steps and be and feel empowered enough to, you know, to use an overused phrase, to know that you are making a difference by taking some kind of action towards creating a reality that you want to see. And so sometimes that involves revealing things that are really ugly.
Yes.
So.
Well, I never knew they were doing that, especially in this time, day and age. You know, I thought it had better sense than that, but I guess not.
No, we don't have a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I don't think sometimes.
One good thing about the United States, I would say the majority of us are all animal lovers, as far as, because everyone's got a dog or a cat, which is a great thing, you know, and I think more so than other countries. I was watching a special yesterday. There are more tigers in, you know, as pets than there are in the wild. Yeah, I couldn't believe that. More people have tigers as pets than they are in the wild. That's just crazy.
Well, I know of the dwindling numbers, but I didn't know it was that crazy. No.
Yeah. There's so many sanctuaries out there. We have several here in the Florida area that have people that, you know, they outgrow their family, and the family can't take care of them anymore, and they just step in and take the animals. You know, but
yeah, I mean,
well.
Who is it that
they're...
thinks that you can raise and have a tiger as a pet to begin with?
I just can't. I can't. You know, I love tigers, and you know, I would like to have a cheetah personally.
You would like to have a
so
cheetah.
Cool.
Well, I'm sure somebody has a cheetah as a pet.
Just watching
find
them run. You know, have races with them in your car or something. I think that'd be kind of cool.
A true test would be running with the cheetah.
Running with the cheetah, yeah.
There you go. It's a title to something.
Running
with
the cheetah. That's right. That's your next album.
No, that's your next album.
How are your dogs, by the way? The Huskies.
Well, you know, it's been many years. That bio was a little old. I have dwindled down, unfortunately, and lost a lot of the Huskies that I think were mentioned in that bio. But I do have one Malamute Husky mix, and he's he's a gem. He's about 11 years old. He's a great animal. He's a really wonderful animal. And he was at a sanctuary. It was a wolf dog sanctuary, actually, in Asheville.
Oh, those wolf
full
dogs
moon.
Are awesome. Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Full Moon Farm in Black Mountain, North Carolina.
Wow.
And Nancy takes care of, it's a sanctuary, so she takes in quite a number of animals. And wolf dogs don't, you know, they don't belong in the wolf community and they don't belong in the dog community. So they're sort of in between, and I'm not a big supporter of breeding dogs and wild animals. They're still, you know, they're still magnificent animals. If they're a magnificent animal, it doesn't mean just because they were, you know, they're a wolf dog that they are, but they, you know, he is, and he was there at the sanctuary, and I had still had two of the huskies, and I was out there volunteering, and I was there for about 6 months before I actually brought him home. I just, you know, making sure of all that, but he's a doll.
Now, is he pure husky, or is he got some wolf in him?
No, he's Malamute husky. He's mostly Malamute husky.
Okay. Yeah. I love those animals. They're beautiful.
Yeah, and I've been with that breed for so long, and I understand their quirks and their behaviors, and so I'm a good one with the northern breeds. I understand their propensity to run and wander and roam, and
you become one of them.
Do what?
After a while, you become one of them. After a while,
because
you've been around the breed so long. Yeah, yeah. We're like that with the collies and Shelties. We've had collies and Shelties all our life, and so we know we understand their breed. And unfortunately, I'm not the what is it, the alpha? Is it the alpha
male? Oh, you're not?
No, I'm like one of them. That just, I mean, my daughter's dog just does anything she wants, and she gets away with it with me. She never listens to me.
is your daughter the alpha, or who is the alpha?
My,
is it somebody in the dog pack?
My daughter's the alpha, and I'm just one of the dogs.
It's fun to be one of the pack, too.
When I'm one of the pack, yeah. She's got me wrapped around her finger, and she knows it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it really is true. The characteristics and of breeds and animals, really, you relate to certain characteristics and traits, and good and bad, and there you go. Find yourself with them. And
yep, exactly. You know, right after your I'm calling it a poem that you know the one after the all the song listings. I'm gonna go. I don't think you have it in front of you. If you have it in front of you, I was gonna let you read it. You know, in these nursery rhymes and fairy tales, you fly like the cockeyed rogue. Do you have that in front of you, or I was gonna read it because I thought it was amazing.
I would like to hear you read it.
Okay. I'll do my best.
But I would like to hear you read it.
Well, I would like to hear you read it, actually. You wrote it. Do you have it in front of you?
Okay.
Go
I
ahead.
Do.
Okay.
Do. My glasses. Hang on.
Okay,
hang on.
I'm wearing mine.
Glasses. Right. Let's see. In these nursery rhymes and fairy tales, you fly the cockeyed root of a silly tool. Crafty forager, stealing seeds from my garden, you appear. You crack me up, the way you teeter and tot, pop. Will you sing now, too? I hear it's often in your solitude your notes ring. Why do you follow me? I've got no bread, and you make such noises that rattle my head. But your magic is strong, your unexpected genius. Amuse me, bemuse me. For soon I must attend the busyness of the world. I must attend, but I hear crow.
I love that. That's awesome. That's awesome. You need to write a book, you know, with all these, you know, kind of poems and things like that in it.
That's been floating around for a while. I have a lot of pieces. I just have not assembled a publication yet. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking something like cookbook,
cookbook.
You know.
A poetry cookbook?
Something like that, I think.
That'd
because
be
I just, I feel like I want to write a cookbook, and I want to write
that's
a cookbook
funny.
Together. And put some of my Holga images, you know, of my tofu salads in it or something. And,
sure.
And some poems. So why not? You know, maybe there's a CD included, too. I don't know.
I think so.
Or download card or something.
Yeah, you were talking about a DVD last time we chatted. You remember that? Audio visual. Yeah, you were in the moving into the audio visual direction.
In Phoenicia, I have a little. Phoenicia's tiny. Phoenicia is like a block and a half long. I love it. I love being here. I have a cabin. I'm about a mile from town, and there's a gallery in town called The Arts Upstairs. Mm-hmm. And I have one of the two studios in the back, and it's about 350 square feet. And it's but I turned it into a public space with sitting area, pillows, text on the walls, and I have projected images that are, because this projector happens to work with DVDs, I burned a disc of some of the images that I worked in Artmatic with the, I imported papers, collage papers. I was painting papers to tear up and use in collage.
Right.
But I was simultaneously learning the software, and I thought, I wonder what would happen if I imported, some of these painted papers, and then mapped it and worked with it. And anyway, essentially, I came up with something that I was really liking, so I just continued to work with it. So they're animated. And they evolve as, fractal images, but it's organic material. And it's painterly. It feels very painterly, but it's like there's a moving painting that's happening.
How do you get it animated? How do you do that?
It's within the program of Artmatic. Artmatic is an animating program. It's a graphic synthesizer. And so I put some sound. I designed some sounds for it and used some sounds from loops, some vocal loops, some music loops, some recorded conversations from my trips in Egypt, and some sounds from the shortwave radio, and so essentially that runs and. It's just a space for people to come into and just drop down. They're very slowly evolving. So, again, we're sort of in this theme of, slow. And providing an environment that supports somebody really being there, being with themselves, just sitting. And letting the images, take you on a journey, however you want to do that. And so I also use the space. Someone teaches yoga out of it a couple of days a week.
Right.
And I think we're going to hold some workshops and vocal improvisation workshop.
Cool.
And I'm thinking, because the name of the, I named it Miss Amelia's Dream Parlor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm probably going to have some kind of little dream or pillow concerts later in the summer. Mm-hmm. Maybe late in the evening, and have some loops, or maybe play a few of these piano pieces is what I'm thinking.
Oh, great! So, that sounds like fun.
So I really do want to take. Yeah. I really this string and voice music, which has not been recorded, which I thought I was going to be rehearsing when I went back down to Asheville. That the lyrics have been written for that, and I really want to take that out, and I want to incorporate, a few of the piano pieces. So I'm going to start doing that in bite-sized chunks at the studio, I think, through the summer and fall.
That'll be awesome. That'll be great. You are so creative. It's amazing. But, I sense that you like your space. You want to do what you want to do at your own pace. Mm. And I'm not sure if you really want to have a lot of people fussing over you and putting you on television and all that stuff. Is that true?
That's true, and I think that's always been, it's been my conflict. It's been a conflict for a number of years when I thought that's what you had to do, or I didn't want to be involved in music because I didn't want that. I associated that life with having with not having freedom and with not having the freedom or control to do what I innately knew somehow I needed to do to create what I wanted to create. And I really stayed away from maybe a larger market, and I never really tried to get a record deal, or when that was more what people would try to do in the 80s, in early 90s. But, you know, it's always been a little bit of a conflict because you want people, I don't create, yes, I love the act of create. I mean, I'm most at home in that moment of work, and yet you know, it's not just for me. I want other people to hear it. So, and there's okay, well, what do you do with it? So I try to record it, and then you know you try to make it available for people. But truly, you need to be performing in order for people to know what's happening and what you're doing. And I, with this music that in August, the strings and voice music, I was immediately, I want to take this music out. Mm-hmm. So I really began to move in my head more in that direction again. So, through the next year, that should be happening and incorporating these some of the piano pieces, I think.
Awesome.
So, but the venue, you know, for this music, because it's so contemplative, and so is the other music is very, it's like space church music.
Like, which I love.
It's,
you know?
It's like it has some primal sacred quality to it that
it
I
does.
Love.
It does.
And, but I really think planetariums, I go, oh my God, this is music to be played and heard in planetariums. This is planetary music or museums. Well, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see if that can happen.
Yeah, well, there are, Pink Floyd made it.
Yes.
You know, I mean, how spacey can you get with Pink Floyd, you know? You know, and it really, it's slow music, and they played it on stage, and they had their followers, you know?
Well, they have a strong visual component, which is, to me, really important in a piece of some of the
stuff
that I've been working on.
You're right
on
about
too.
That. And you can do that easily, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just talked to David Gilmour's ex-wife, Ginger. She was on the radio with me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, I guess. It was interesting to talk to her. She's a lot like you. She's very spiritual and into nature, and she does a lot of sculptures. You know, that's her thing, is art and sculpture. Yeah.
Go listen.
Yeah, she's pretty cool. Pretty cool lady.
Where is she in England?
She's in England, yeah. She's originally from Philadelphia. But she moved to England when she met David, and she stayed there ever since.
Mm. Wait, is she in the city? I'm sorry to ask all these questions now.
Okay.
Is she in London?
She's close to London. She's in, I think, Sussex. I think she's in Sussex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of, I love Glastonbury. I've been to Glastonbury several times, and love that area.
You've been to a lot of places, but we never hear about them on Facebook.
Well, you know,
you're a very mysterious person.
That,
just like the music.
you know, it's true. There is that, and I think that harkens back to that piece that says, you reveal too much, and suddenly you don't have your privacy anymore. It's like, oh my God, privacy is like such a rare, commodity, I guess, these days.
Yeah, it is. And once you're out, you're out. You can't, can't go back to privacy. It's gonna be hard. I just can't see you with the paparazzi following you everywhere.
No, I don't think that's. I think I'm late enough in life now that there's no chance that that's gonna happen. So I'm really okay with it. So, paparazzi doesn't. They don't follow my generation around. So. So we're good with that.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, in our last interview, you stated this about your dad. You said he and I were a lot alike in funny ways. We mirrored each other, and I think it bothered him in some ways because he saw the gypsy in me. And I think it scared him a little bit. He had very few talks with me about life or a career or anything, but one of the things he said, whatever you do, do whatever you want to do. I don't care what you do, but don't go into the music business. Does that still stay? Does that still echo in your head?
Oh, your dad says? I think, you know, it's more like it's under a rock somewhere, and every now and again the rock gets turned over, and I go, oh, yeah, that. Yeah, his voice echoes. I think it had an impact certainly at one time and for years, for a number of years, and but I think there were plenty of reasons why I followed that, because it also was in alignment with something that I already believed in me anyway. And he had his reasons for telling me not to, because this was the 70s, and
right. And
women in the music business, I think he saw that there was a lot of, there was a certain kind of treatment of women in the business and by men
right. In
the business,
right.
And so, you know, with fans and all of that, and so I think there was the motivation of protection and overprotection, and yeah.
Typical dad.
It was. I mean, that was really a very typical dad move. But you know, it to me it was just okay. All right, I'm not doing it anyway.
I don't even like country music.
Exactly. And I always liked my dad. I always listened to my dad. And I loved my dad's music, but I was not a fan of country music. And
But
certainly there were artists, and I think the roots, you know, really roots, real roots music, mountain music.
Right.
I always felt the purity of that, and loved that. So, and that goes for, you know, same today, but. Not so easy to find, but it's there, I guess.
I think that's interesting, though, that you went, you know, yeah, I'm listening to Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, yes.
The music was, yeah, and my brother was 10 years older, so his record collection was around, and he was in the Army, so I used to rifle through his record collection.
Exactly.
And got to experience, you know, the early, you know, music of the 60s and
I did too. That's why I'm so interested in classic rock. Yeah. Is that I went through my brother's collection, and he was almost 10 years older than me too. I mean, we're similar.
Yeah.
I just don't have a famous dad.
Yeah, right. And you know, it's my mother was always dragging me to church, and I was going to church all the time.
Right.
It was like, oh my Lord, it was Pentecostal, Southern Pentecostal. Four times a week sometimes, and I, you know, I'd have my sanity.
Wow.
On Sunday nights, I'd go home and listen to Dr. Demento.
Yeah.
Oh, finally, a sane voice.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I could so much more relate to Dr. Demento.
I know. I was the same way. I kind of, you know, turned the opposite way, you know. Rebel in high school, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What was your greatest memory of your dad? If you had one memory that stuck out in your head, what do you think that is?
Oh, memory of my dad.
What thing just stands out that, you know, you always, you know, remember?
Well, of course, all the stuff that is flashing through is like stuff of him being on the farm where we live.
Right.
Him jumping on the trampoline in his bikini swimsuit. It's like, what? My dad is in a bikini swimsuit on a trampoline?
That's funny.
that kind of thing. Or I used to, because it was, the farm was about 260 acres. And my dad, you know, my dad was traveling a lot, but I would often camp out in the backyard in a little tent, and I would set my
tent. Oh, did you? Really?
But he would bomb me with cherry pits. He would, like, you know, he'd go out in the woods, and he'd make sounds, and he'd, like, you know, scary sounds, and he'd start throwing things at the tent, and, you know, tell me scary stories before I'd go to sleep. It was
like
really
me with my daughter.
That way. See what?
That's funny. Sounds like me with my daughter.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, silly dad. He was a
That's
silly
great.
Dad.
Those are the fun dads. You know,
it was fun.
You know what song I played for my daughter, and she listened to it over and over again, but she just had to listen to it, even though it scared her, was Dogs of War by Pink Floyd. It was a very scary song, you know. And there's a picture of wolves, you know, with their eyes red. And you know, she would say, "Will you play me Dogs of War, Daddy?" Play, you know, but she was scared. But she had to hear it all the time, you know. So, yeah, I was one of those
great
dads.
Great song, though. Love that song. Didn't Roger Waters play? I have a Roger Waters DVD, and I think they played. I think he played that. I think Doyle Bramhall was playing guitar on that because David Gilmour was not playing. It's quite something. I think Snowy is it Snowy White? What's his name? Snowy White? Snow? Am I going to get his name wrong? The guitarist. He was an original guitarist for Pink Floyd.
Oh, you mean Sid Barrett? Sid Barrett was like one of the original guys.
No. Huh. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, but a great song. Great song.
Yeah, yep. how about a great memory of your mom? Is your mom still living?
No, my mom died in 2001.
Right.
And her birthday, she died in July of 2001. Her birthday was September 11th, actually.
Okay. Really?
She died just before. She died just before the event. And my mom, her wigs. Oh, I remember. My mom had. Well, you know, I mentioned she was a religious fundamentalist and was at church all the time. And she had all these wigs, and she was always wearing her wigs. And she had this Dale Evans do. And I remember my mom at her makeup counter and doing the whole, because she really had that persona, that Dale Evans hair.
Right.
The big eye, the cat eyes, and the, you know, red lips and tiger dresses, and then going to church. Woo!
Wow, you went complete opposite, man.
I wore her, actually, it was a leopard print. I wore her leopard dresses at one point, though.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. I loved her leopard print, and I assumed that dress when she was tired of it, and I could fit into it, and I think I was 17 or 18.
Well, you know, wigs were the big thing at that time,
yes,
you know?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Actually, my mom was a, she worked at Montgomery Ward's, and she was the stylist for wigs in the wig department because she was a beautician by trade, so that she did that for a long time. Yeah.
Well, your mom may have styled one of my mother's wigs.
You never know.
I know she had at least 40 at any given time.
Wow.
Wow. And they were all the same color, too. I mean, they were all like a shade of blonde.
Really?
So,
You've got there's a picture of you holding a guitar. Do you know the picture I'm talking about?
Is this a recent picture?
I think it is a recent picture. And it's a very different looking guitar. I was wondering what kind of guitar that was.
Oh, I think that's an oud. I think it's an oud.
Oh, it was it? Yeah, I thought it was an oud. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that was in Asheville. And that's actually my friend Chris Stack's oud.
Okay.
His electric oud. And
it's an electric oud. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And I was sitting at the bar playing it.
Really? You were sitting at the bar playing it. Cool.
Very impromptu. Yeah, that was an impromptu. Yeah.
Those are your kind of gigs.
Yeah. That's it. And, you know, I really truly think we're meant to be, we're nomads. People are nomads. We should be nomads. We should be wandering. We should have lifestyles where we're moving more with the natural rhythms, right? And
right.
You think about the troubadours and the roving musicians, roving storytellers, people who were moving all the time,
and they
were passing on the stories from town to town, and also the, you know, the parables and the learnings and riddles and mysteries and the mysteries that were couched in stories. So, I really, I don't, I don't truly live that life with my music because I'd probably be driving around in a van and playing the acoustic guitar all the time.
Right.
But I think I live it in some version, you know. I live it in parts.
Yeah, you know, you wonder. I kind of believe in reincarnation. You know, I think it's possible. I think it's very possible. Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not be recycled, you know?
Why not be recycled?
Why not be recycled?
Exactly. All the other organic matter, you know, decomposes
exactly.
And comes back.
You got to go
yeah,
somewhere.
I agree.
So, you know, who knows? Maybe you had, you know, from past lives, this is coming about, you know, in your music, too. You never know.
I'm sure. I think some of my most enjoyable times was with music was when I was playing the guitar and I lived in Southern California and
right.
we would play out on the promenade in
right.
Santa Monica.
Yep.
And that was it was free, it was open, and
mm-hmm.
people are wandering by and you might grab them and you might, you know, you're there locked with each other for a moment, and then they wander off, or they stay, or they, you know, whatever. And there's something about that that is really natural to me, and I mm-hmm. enjoy that. So, you know, maybe more.
You must love England and with the history and.
I do.
Yeah, like in the castles and you know
mm-hmm.
Renaissance
mm-hmm.
period. And,
yeah, that's what I in the Glastonbury. Area is deep mysticism and mm-hmm. Energies there really strong and
mm-hmm.
so it's you know you step into it, it's like okay, there are a lot of worlds that you feel sort of swirling around you and things
exactly
coming to life and walking between worlds a little more, and I think that is it's pure there in some ways, just more open. That makes sense.
We have good friends from Wales, they go to Wales all the time. Really nice guys, and nice people. And you know, just thinking about standing, you know, on a pathway, and thinking all those years ago, who somebody could have fought here, you know, what all the history that just you know, looking around you, it just. Boggles the mind because, you know, the United States is so young compared to the rest of the world, you know?
It really is, at least in our, you know, in our written history, of course,
right.
we weren't the first people here, and there was a
right.
whole, there were a whole
yeah,
lot of civilizations and peoples who were here that
yeah.
we have, that's a whole other thing. But you know, the whole,
yeah.
You know, when you were talking about the histories and this experience of wondering who's walked here before, and
right.
I experienced that so intensely in Turkey, probably more so than any place. And
really, Turkey,
in
huh?
Istanbul, it was oh my God! It was like you could see the layers of worlds that
mm-hmm.
were stacked on top of each other. Almost, it was just walking through centuries and centuries and centuries of different. Lifetimes and different ways of
mm-hmm.
being, and really rich and really really just really really it's like thick in a way
right.
of experience. So
yeah.
I loved being in Turkey. A lot of my writing, the prose writing that I have, was came from that period, and I was traveling there more in the early 90s. I think my last trip there was in 96. But
you know, my
yeah.
grandfather was actually from Turkey, and my mother was from Syria, because I guess back then, I guess the borders were almost on top of each other and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, just the history between you know, and what's such a shame now, Syria and Aleppo is all destroyed now.
Yeah.
All the ancient monuments and everything have been destroyed.
Yeah, being wiped out.
All being wiped out.
There's a level of new level of obscenity.
Right.
With the change.
yeah.
With
I
changes
know.
That are at hand and.
Yep.
And possibilities at the same time. It's like,
right,
wow,
right.
In some ways it feels like there are is never, feels like we have more possibilities now than ever, and also more destruction. And some of the destruction, when I think of in this country, I think
I guess we're having a little technical difficulty here.
And
I just lost Janet.
Models, government or educational.
Hello, Doug.
Medical, or those models
Doug.
Are built on commerce first in a lot of ways. Maybe, you know, the government supposedly not. But
Hello, Doug.
A lot of that is breaking apart, and there is a certain amount of destruction happening with that I think has to go. But what is being rebuilt in its place? You know, I think there are communities, there are people that are creating life, being in life in a way that you don't hear as much about, that is far more sustainable than what the current models are, and I have great hopes for that amidst all the chaos that's happening as well.
So, yeah. Janet, what's next? What's next for Janet Robbins? What's your future hold?
Well, I'm actually learning the improvisations that I just recorded. So I'm learning those so that I can actually play them out, and as well as the string and voice pieces. So I think what's next is working up a live set.
Okay.
And that's going to come out in little bits and pieces via
right.
Miss Amelia's Dream Parlor in Phoenicia.
Oh, great.
And here and there through the summer and the fall. And we'll see after that. I'm not really sure how I don't know how it's going to go forward, if it will be house concerts or, you know, who I might work with in different kinds of venues, you know, video artists who might, you know, I might work with creating a visual set.
Right.
And at some point, I would love to work with string quartet to reproduce the string
and,
vocal music. In planetariums. Yeah. Might be a few years off, but, you know, moving in that direction. Perhaps.
Yeah, well, there is music with string quartet and visual that are playing decent venues, you know? And people are, you know, people are loving them, actually.
Yeah.
They just did a Star Trek thing with the orchestra, with the, you know, Star Trek movies behind them.
And really?
That's
where?
Really cool. Yeah. They were on tour. It's a Star Trek, I forgot what it's called, Experience or something like that. But the whole orchestra playing Star Trek music along with the video, which is phenomenal.
Oh,
you know, really cool.
Yeah. Right at home with that.
So, you know, I could see you doing that.
Yeah.
Why
I can
not?
See me doing that, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, when I have... I'm not planning on recording the string and vocal music immediately, but maybe I'll record a version and send you something.
Awesome. I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for the heck of it, I want to ask you, if the record company approached you and says, "Look, Janet, we want you to do something else. We love you. You know, you got, you know, unbelievable talent, but we want you to do, I don't know, country, rock, or pop." What would you say?
Only country, rock, or pop?
Well,
that's the only choice?
That's your choice.
That's my choice?
Well, you don't want to do rap, do you?
Well, I don't want to do country, rock, or pop, so I think that was your point.
Well, that's what I mean.
That was your point.
Something completely different, yeah.
But I do have to stop at pop, because I do hear some of that music that I've recorded in sort of an electronic pop
Right.
And there could be, that could be, you know, there could be a meeting of the minds with electronic pop, but I really doubt it.
Well,
I think
can hook
maybe
you up
an overseas, maybe if there were an overseas label that wanted to do distribution for something, for, you know, maybe the strings and voice or the piano music, something in that realm. Either space music, space ambient music is probably more what.
Right, you're going to stick with it, in other words, yeah.
Well, I think so, but I love lyric. I love writing lyric. However, again, the string and voice music, that's full of lyric content.
Yep.
And
yep.
that's all about prose. And so you never know.
You never know.
Never know.
Keep it open. Never know.
Yes.
But everything you're doing now is beautiful. I love it. Your latest album, I Hear Crow, is exceptional. I'd just give it 5 stars, you know, what the heck.
Thank you. What the heck? Why not?
Why not, you know?
Right out there.
I think it's an amazing album, especially, you know, when you're, you know, there's no lyrics involved and you're thinking about everything in your head. It just, the way you put nature into music is just remarkable.
Yeah, and, there's quite a bit going on in that music. It's very alive and visual.
It is. It is. Well, always enjoy. I love talking to you.
I love talking with you, too, Ray. Thank you.
The thing I always get a kick out of when I remember you is how you used to dress up the frogs when you were little. I think that is so funny.
I love that. I love doing that. And I love that I was able to work that into some lyrics somewhere.
Wasn't that great? That was great. From your, yep.
I love just dressing up the frogs and the bugs, too, occasionally.
And the bugs,
making little stretchers for them,
And they were alive, right? The frogs were alive when you did
this? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. No, I was
just going to point that out.
Them. I wasn't killing them at that point.
They had been very squirmy. You know, I remember though. There is a guy that the lizards. You ever see the guy that poses lizards? You ever see that
yes,
guy?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
In fact, you were talking Venice Beach.
That's right, Venice Beach.
Well, he posed. Right. He was one of his lizards was on my shoulder one day. He put one of his lizards on my shoulder when I lived in Southern California.
Really?
Oh yes.
Yeah. I think it's amazing the way they're all posing and they don't move. You know, that's...
they're fabulous. they're exotic and sultry
it is
glamorous.
Yeah, it is glamorous.
Glamorous lizards. That's a great band name.
Glamorous lizards. In concert, glamorous lizards.
Okay, like maybe not.
Yeah, maybe for one of your next albums, Glamorous Lizards.
Glamorous
That'll
Lizards.
Be a new band. That'll be a new band.
Okay, it's a book title then.
A book title. Yes.
Okay.
You got so many things rolling around anyway. We gotta use a couple of these. Janet, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really, really appreciate it. And we'll follow up from time to time to see what you're doing and what you got going on. And definitely, I'll spread the word when you start this mini tour.
Thank you. I will keep you updated on that.
I appreciate
Thanks.
That.
Thanks. I really enjoy our talk. So thank you again.
Keep recording more music because you are so incredibly talented.
Thank you.
And I really mean that. I'm your biggest fan.
Thank you.
Thank you, Janet.
I'll take that. Okay. Thanks. Take care, Ray.
You too. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye. To purchase I Hear Crow, solo piano improvisation and composition, or find out more information about Janet Robbins and her music, visit janetrobbinsmusic.com. And also, Janet's on Facebook. Visit her at www.facebook.com/Janet Robbins Music. Please join me biweekly Mondays at 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Eastern on The Ray Shasho Show. Very special thanks to the great Billy James of Glass Onion PR for arranging our interview today with Janet Robbins. And thanks to Don and Doug Newsom with BBS Radio for making it happen every show. If you have comments or suggestions or would like to be a guest on the Ray Shasho Show, call 941-877-1552 or email us at ray@publicityworksagency.com. Don't forget to purchase a copy of my book entitled Check the G's, A True Story of an Eclectic American Family and Their Wacky Family Business, available now at Amazon.com. You'll live it. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Ray Shasho Show, brought to you by the Publicity Works Agency. Call 941-877-1552 or visit us at publicityworksagency.com. Specializing in author and music artist publicity plans, we shine when we make you shine. Join Ray Shasho every Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio. Station 1.